Welcome to Genesis Church. We are a church where everyone's welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything is possible. We hope this message helps you take your next step with Jesus. To connect, give, or share, visit our website at genesisal.com. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to a new year and a new decade. Welcome to 2020. You know it's been a year since we've seen each other, and it is so good to see you today. If you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to make your way over to Psalm 139. And if you don't have a Bible with you, we have everything on the screens. You can follow along because today we're beginning a series throughout the month of January. And during this series, it is really focused on the power of one. Power of one word in our life. And one mission. And one choice. And ultimately, as we will see today, the power of one prayer. Now, I am so ready to fully step into 2020 as a church family, and I'm sure you are as well. But I want to take a moment to look back at 2019 here at Genesis Church. I want to take a moment to thank God because I am deeply grateful for all that God did in and through our church in 2019. And then together, we will boldly step into 2020 because I'm expectant for what God will do. So I want to share with you a few highlights as we begin today. And I'll simply ask you, can you please hold all applause? And then at the end, let's celebrate together. I want to pray for us, and then let's boldly enter in to 2020. So here are a few highlights from 2019, which you may not be aware, but this was our first full year in this location. We entered into a new chapter in November of 2018, and this was our full year together in this location. And here are just a few ways that God worked in 2019. Heaven is a little more crowded because we celebrated 20 professions of faith, including our first high school student beginning a relationship with God. We had the privilege of watching 22 people get baptized last year. 60 people became members or partners of our church family. We hosted our first Easter egg hunt, Good Friday service, and Easter Sunday service. Our highest attendance was on Easter Sunday, and we had over 450 people gather with us. We had the privilege of sending out and receiving back the Dees family, who were missionaries to Honduras. And we had the privilege of sending out and receiving back Brooke Ames, who served as a missionary in 6 countries in 6 months. We hosted our first ever Genesis Kids summer camp called Camp Roar. We established a new outdoor sign saying to our community, we're here for the long run. We established a new gravel parking lot that increased our parking spaces by 40. And every Sunday morning, just so you know, I love walking around our parking spaces. And I pray, God, will you fill every space with a person, and will you fill every person with your spirit? We hosted and invested almost 300 college students and staff in the summer through student mobilization, or known as Kaleo. We welcome Taylor and Carly Sasser to our church. Taylor is our new student pastor. We invested a little over $30,000 into local, regional, and global missions to advance the gospel, to take all of Jesus to all of the world. You may not know, we're part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and we had the privilege, gathering together, of sending out 60 new missionaries to the most least reached people groups of the world. Less than 2% of the population has heard the gospel where they were going. We had the privilege of helping encourage and establish a church plant in Montevallo, Alabama, and help a replant and revitalization in Waveland, Mississippi. We invested into 50 children as part of our preschool at Genesis Kids Academy. We welcome Michelle McKee, Cindy Rice, Christina Gregory to our Genesis Kids leadership team. We hosted our first ever Women's Refresh Conference. We hosted 7 community meals, as already shared. One of those are going to be taking place after this service. 50% of our church family was involved in small groups or serve teams. We engaged in turkey takeout, partnering with several other churches to make sure this Thanksgiving, no one in Baldwin County went without food. And in South Foley and North Gulf Shores, we were able to provide food for 300 people. We launched a prayer team, a response time after service, a communion team. We had the privilege of sending a summer missions team to Honduras. And we gathered to learn together and to grow together through the following teaching series, How's Your Soul? You lost me at Leviticus, League of Judges, Summers in Psalm 23, Jonah, Anchored in Hebrews, and It's a Wonderful Life. And finally, we hosted our first ever Christmas Eve service in this location and had the privilege of sharing the gospel with our community, your friends, and your family. I would say in 2019, we have a lot to be grateful for. And so, church family, can you join me in celebrating God's goodness and faithfulness here at Genesis Church? Heavenly Father, you are good, and you are faithful, and you do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And now we're not just entering into 2020 physically, but we're asking by your grace in bold and new, fresh ways as a church, we enter into 2020 spiritually. We thank you for all that you did in 2019, and we're grateful for it. But we come expectant in 2020. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your extreme generosity. Thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you that you allow us to be a church family, and we surrender to serve you. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, as we begin, I want to attempt to be as clear as I know how, because I really do believe January can be a life-changing time for us, that all of us really want to enter into 2020 the best possible way that we can. And so there are a few next steps that I'm inviting you into as we move into 2020 this January. And so here are they. The first is this, that you would take a next step and discover your one word. I really do believe one word from God can change your life. And if you've never done this before, that you would get away in prayer, in God's word, and you would ask God for one word for 1 year, and then share that with us. Secondly, I'm inviting you to take a next step to be a part of a serve team or a small group. We had 50% engaged last year. By the end of 2020, it is our goal to have 70% of our church family engaged in a small group or serve team. I promise you, you will never regret it. And last, but certainly not least, is what we are starting today. I'm inviting you to be a part of a prayer journey over the next 21 days that begins today and will lead us up to January the 26th. And on that Sunday will be our Vision Sunday. And in between, we will have a worship and prayer night. And all that information is in your worship guide. But I want to let you know as we enter in, because I am urging you, encouraging you, imploring you to pray one prayer for the next 21 days. But this one prayer can be so life-transforming. And I want to put a sign above it that simply says, at your own risk. Maybe you enjoy the beaches that we have access to. Just yesterday, I went out there to see the sun set, and it was beautiful. But there was a red flag, and if you look at the sign, it says, swim at your own risk. Maybe you've even been a part of a community pool and you went to go swim and you saw there was no lifeguard on duty and it just said, swim at your own risk. We have people who are part of our church who love skiing, and some of them are in Tennessee and in North Carolina and even in Colorado. And there are certain runs that are black diamonds and they say on there, ski at your own risk. And I can remember it's been a little while that I was on a long road trip and I wanted to stop and to eat, and there was nothing around. And finally, I saw a sign, so I got off the exit, and I pulled in. It was a dingy truck stop. I got out of my car, walking to this little restaurant at this truck stop, and on the front door, there was a big sign that was posted, eat at your own risk. If you see that sign, I would not encourage you to proceed forward. I'm just letting you know. Well, I think there should be a sign around certain prayers that say, pray at your own risk. And so I want to speak into your life. What I'm inviting you to pray is a life-transforming prayer. It is a bold, faith-filled, soul-surrendered prayer. And I promise you, if you take this seriously, it has the potential to change your life. It's just that powerful. So what am I inviting you to pray for the next 21 days? I'm going to share with you the prayer, then I'm going to share with you the content of the posture of that prayer, and then we're going to unpack that further this morning. But first, what is the prayer? I'm going to read it. I'm going to invite you to read that with me, and then I want to unpack a little bit further. Here is the prayer. Lord, search me, break me, and lead me in 2020. Now, right there in your seat, I want to invite you to just say that out loud with me this morning. Lord, search me, examine me, and lead me in 2020. I'm not just asking and inviting you to pray this prayer, but I want to tell you some specifics. That whenever you get up in the morning over the next 21 days and your feet hit the ground, and when you go to bed at night before you get in the bed, I want to invite you in a posture of kneeling down before your bed, and if you are married or with a family, I even encourage you to do this together. Right there, kneel down if you're physically capable, and then have your hands open. This is a posture of surrender. Do not pray this with great speed, but be unrushed. Lord, would you search me? Would you examine me? And would you lead me in 2020? And during the bookends of your day, have your heart and mind and ears and eyes open for God to answer that in fresh ways. Now, I didn't make this prayer up. It isn't something that I created or invented, but we take God's word really seriously here at Genesis Church. And so this comes directly out of Psalm 139, which I'll point your attention to. This is written by David, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 139, look at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. There are three distinct areas of this prayer. I want to unpack those for you. And so the first and the obvious is this: Lord, would you search me? Lord, would you search me? You may already know this, but in the mid-1800s, there was great advancements when it comes to certain areas of science and medicine. But just because there's advancements doesn't mean there's not a long way to go. For instance, in 2020, in life sciences, there have been incredible breakthroughs. And when it comes to technology, immense breakthroughs. But there is a long way to go. And in the mid-1800s, in Europe, there was something that existed called childbed fever. Maybe you've heard of it before. And essentially, here's what it was: that healthy moms would go into hospitals and they would have healthy babies, but then they would get sick and then they would die. And in some instances, I have heard that the mortality rate was up to 50%. You can imagine how this would cause people caution before having kids. If you can imagine this, if you had a surgery or something like that and you were going to South Baldwin or Thomas Hospital or Sacred Heart or USA and they told you you have a 1 in 2 chance of making it, you might be cautious. And during that time, they didn't know what was going on. So several doctors gathered together and they started to look intentionally to find out what it was. They brought other people in. They looked all over the place. They started to research it. They couldn't find anything until a group of people gathered together. One of them was Dr. Wendell Oliver Holmes, and started to point out something that was happening inside the hospitals, that they noticed that the doctors would go and they would work on a corpse and examine a corpse, and then a healthy mom would come in and they would take their instruments without washing their hands or sterilizing those instruments, and they would go over and they would deliver a baby. Now, that isn't the most shocking thing. The most shocking thing is after this group of people shared this with the medical community, nothing happened for 30 years. Could you imagine going in? I'm going to use the example, South Baldwin, Thomas Hospital, something like that. You walk in, and again, you're ready for surgery, and you know that the doctor has not washed his hands or sterilized his instruments. You wouldn't even think about going there. Well, after 30 years, After trying to find all the things they could out there, they finally came to the realization that maybe the issue was going on in here. Now, what does this teach us? This is what this teaches us. Sometimes the problem is us. That there are times in our life where we look so external when the reality is the things that need to shift and need to change are not out there somewhere. They are in here. Which means this is a bold and dangerous prayer to pray, God, would you search me? Maybe you've heard people say certain things like this. Maybe you've even said them yourself. If my spouse would change, our marriage would be better. If my kids would stop being so crazy, I could invite someone over my house. It's a zoo here. I may have said that one. If the people at my work were more enjoyable and they weren't so grumpy, this would be a great workplace. If my church just said the right things and did the right things, I could stay. If Chick-fil-A didn't serve waffle fries, I'd be thinner. You'll notice about this prayer in Psalm 123, the most repeated phrase is the phrase me. Lord, search me, examine me, lead me. If you don't know this, you cannot change anyone. The only thing you can do is open your life to be changed by God. So on the front end, I just want to say, this is not a prayer over the next 21 days to get down on your knees right beside your spouse and simply pray this way, Lord, would you search my wife? Would you examine her? We both know she has some issues. And would you lead her? She needs your help. We know that. In your name, amen. He's going to have a conversation afterwards, I can promise you that. This is not a time where you even pray, Lord, will you search our church? Will you examine our church? Will you lead our church? There's times and places, but what I'm urging you to do in a bold and fresh way is start internal, not look external. Lord, it's about me. There used to be a beautiful song, I'm standing in the hour of prayer. It is me, God. Lord, would you search me? If you back up just a few verses, in verse 19 of Psalm 139, I want to draw your attention to the progress that David makes. In verse 19, he says, O God, if you would destroy the wicked, get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name, O Lord. Shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with a total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. And before you stop and think, oh, poor David, don't act like you haven't prayed those types of prayers. Maybe they didn't look like that, but maybe it is. I hope they don't succeed. I hope that they don't advance in their career. I hope they get what's coming to them. Why in the world would God allow this in Scripture? Because some of you are thinking, this is the very reason I have a hard time with God's Word. Because the Psalms are this picture of grand vulnerability. And there are times in our life where we just open our life and we vent. Have you ever read Habakkuk? This is the reality. But I want you to see where David gets to, that he moves from this external place to this internal place. And he says, Lord, would you search me? Occasionally, I will get someone after a service who reaches over and they pull me beside them. I think about doing what Pope Francis did. No, I don't think about doing that. I'm just kidding. But they pull me aside and they have me lean down and they say something like this, I wish my husband was here because they need it. And I don't say it, but I want to say, I think the person who needs this message is here. This is a at your own risk type of prayer. Lord, would you search me? Last year in the spring, we had the privilege of hosting Mike Meganson, who invested in our marriages. And I'll never forget one of the things that Mike said. He said that I lowered the expectation for my spouse and I raised the expectation for me. I lowered the expectation for my spouse, I raised the expectation for me. And he went on to say, I realized I can't change anyone, only Jesus can change a human life. And by the way, these are the very words of Jesus, if you haven't picked up on them. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 33, this is one of the most uncomfortable verses in all of Scripture. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? This is as if Jesus is saying, you can detect a little dust in your own eye, but you miss that massive, massive oak tree that's in your eye. Notice the difference between looking external to looking internal. So when we pray something like, Lord, search me, here's where it's leading us. It's leading God to go beneath the surface. The best analogy that I know how to offer you is the analogy of an iceberg. And perhaps you've seen this on the Discovery Channel or a photo somewhere, or maybe you were on a cruise. But one of the unique character traits of icebergs is that there's always more going on beneath the surface than you see above the surface. And that is the truth in our own lives. There's always going on more beneath the surface than what is seen above the surface. So in other words, in a very delicate but very real and bold way, I just want to remind you that every argument you've ever been in, you were there. Every relationship that you thought you needed to X out of, you were there. Every church you left angry, you were there. Perhaps the person that you might have the most problem with is the person that you look in the mirror every morning. And I humbly submit that to you. This is what Lord Search Me is doing. It's like there's a house, and that house is your life. And you're simply saying, God, you can open the door and come into my house. You have access to the living room. You have access to the kitchen. Lord, would you search me? In the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and dangerously sick. Who can understand it? Who can understand? He goes on to say, God can understand it. So let me ask you this morning, as we begin 2020 together, have you ever prayed this type of prayer? And if so, when was the last time, in an honest and real way, you prayed that way before God? God, you search me. Now, search me is not the only area that this draws our attention to. The second area is, Lord, examine me. Again, go back to verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. Now, you may have test me or try me, but the idea behind this Hebrew phrase is this idea of exposing something. Christmas Eve, prior to our Christmas Eve services, a family member gave my daughter, who's six, a little tent. And she was so excited about this tent. And then after the Christmas Eve service, I came home, I walked in the door, and I was greeted by my six-year-old, who I thought couldn't wait for Christmas Day. But that's not where her excitement came from. She couldn't wait to go camping that night. Dad, I've been wanting to go camping, and she just went all out. I want to go camping. Please, let's go camping. And I thought about something that I've said here. You have to have your yes on the table. So I looked at her, and I said, get your sleeping bag. We're going camping. And in our backyard, we set up her little tent, and I had a hammock beside that tent. And she brought every portable or mobile light that we have ever had in our entire life into that little tent. You could see that tent. We live in Foley. You could see that tent from California. It was bright. And I'm beside her, and we stayed out there for about an hour. I started to drift off, and I said to her, Dad's getting tired. and I'm probably going to go to sleep. And I love you, and I just want to say goodnight. And that was when she said to me, Dad, it's not going to work out tonight. Before I could even ask why, she has got everything in her hands, unzipped her tent, and stormed inside. That was the great camping adventure of 2019. But I thought about my daughter, who is nervous about any form of darkness, and she loves to turn on every light in our house. Remember going back to that analogy of the house? It's as if we're giving God access, but the lights are off. And when you pray, Lord, examine me, you're giving God access to turn the lights on, to look in those closets that haven't been accessed for years, the drawers, to sit down at your kitchen table, to open up the refrigerator of your life. Examine me. Would you expose anything that's going on in my life? Now, that's dangerous because those are areas that we really have great anxiety. You noticed in this prayer, he said, expose my anxious thoughts. And we have anxiety, and we know where anxiety is high, often fear is high. And where we fear the most is often where we trust God the least. I thought about this because I just confessed to you. I go to the parks on Friday, and we take a long drive to the park with my two kids, and I love having that time with them. I'm trying to make it a regular habit. We get ice cream afterwards and coffee. It's great. But my son, who is yet to be two, I found myself being a helicopter parent. I found myself when he's over near the bars or other things like that, I am constantly hovering over and watching him. I don't like that, but it's just true. Now, if you were to dive deeper and I kept that mentality, you could ask me this question: do you trust God with your kids? There are some people here who go to bed at night, they wake up in the morning, and they have deep anxiety over finances. They are constantly looking at how they can spend less and make more, and it's not about stewardship, it's not about holy ambition, it is about fear. Do you trust God with the resources He provides for you? There are some people who wake up in the morning, they go to bed at night, and they're constantly with anxiety around their future. They do not like uncertainty, and they do everything they can to make sure that they're healthy and they preserve their life. Do you trust God to sustain your life? See, this is, Lord, would you examine me? Now, we have two different postures. We have a posture physically and a posture spiritually. Some of you, I'll just point out a posture that you might have. Some of you are lean forward, you're taking down notes, you're observing things, you're listening. And some of you, I've got some work to do. Some of you are really not sure about being here. Physical posture is telling. It's harder to see spiritual posture. And some of us this morning, our spiritual posture is we're angry at God. Our spiritual posture is we're apathetic in our spiritual life. Our spiritual posture is, although we say that Jesus rose from the dead, our lives do not demonstrate that reality. And some of us, our posture is zealous and passionate about Jesus. And this is why I'm not just inviting you to pray a prayer, but to align your posture. Lord, would you search me? Would you examine me? And finally, would you lead me? Again, let's go back to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that is offensive to you, and lead me in the path of everlasting. God does a work in us by His grace, and then God does a work through us by His leadership. This is just one of those areas that I want to urge you to pray this way, but recognize it's at your own risk, because God loves to answer prayers like this. So if you pray, God, would you lead me, then be ready to respond. That might be very small ways. If you pray today, Lord, lead me, you may find yourself on Monday prompted by the Spirit of God to show an extra amount of grace to those you work with, to actually ask them about their day, to encourage them. You may find yourself mending relationships that are strained. You may find yourself desiring in some way to serve. It might be small. You could also go into some big areas. God might turn your life upside down and invite you to boldly go to a place you've never been before. When God's leading, we are always outside of our comfort zone so that we can receive comfort from Him. Lead me. In James chapter 1, verse 22, the brother of Jesus put it this way, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself." If I had to paraphrase it, this is how I would paraphrase it. To know what God says is important. To do nothing about what God says after you know it is tragic. And if you were honest and you prayed, "Lord, lead me," here are some things that will happen in your life. If you ask God to lead you, you'll find yourself increasing your prayer life because God will always lead you to talk to Him more, not less. If you pray, "God, lead me," you will find yourself in God's Word more because God will always lead you to be in His Word more, not less. If you pray, "God, lead me," God will invite you to share and to invite and to be a part of His greater story more, not less. He'll invite you to be generous more, not less. He'll invite you into some uncharted territories because God is always after restoration and healing and hope. Christmas Eve, there was this beautiful moment where I knew of someone who sensed God leading them to invite someone close to them. And they took the step and they invited that person. At the end of that service, we gave an opportunity for people to respond. And that particular person responded in faith to begin a relationship with Jesus. And their life was changed. Eternity changed right in that moment. And I was thinking about this afterwards, even that evening. That is a clear response of a prayer just like this. "Lord, would you lead me?" So I want you to see this picture as we finish. That when you get up in the morning for the next 21 days, when your feet hit the ground, and when you go to bed at night, before you actually climb into the bed, I'm urging you, encouraging you, exhorting you, and to invite you to pray in a different way. If you're physically capable, on your knees. If you're married, do this with your spouse. If you have family in the house, do it with your family. If you're close with your roommates, do it with your roommates. On your knees, in a posture of submission. Because I don't know if you know this, but it's pretty clear how the story ends. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord. And with our hands open, "Lord, lead me. Lord, search me. Lord, examine me in 2020. Pray at your own risk. Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and the privilege to gather together with an amazing group of people who come from all walks of life, who have unique opportunities and unique challenges. And I am praying over their life in 2020 as they don't just transition to a new year but a new decade, that the best would be yet to come. I pray that they would flourish in 2020. I pray for healing. I pray for hope. I pray for freedom. I pray for a release of joy, a passionate worship of you, that you would be the primary ambition and affection in 2020 in all of our lives. As John the Baptist prayed, that we would decrease and that you would increase. And it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.